How much do you know about the history of our immigration detention system? Chances are not that much. But a new podcast from our friends at the NPR affiliate WLRN in Miami is aiming to unravel the complicated history and explain how it became what it is. It's called Detention by Design. And what separates this podcast from many others that try to tell the story of immigration and detention is the rich history it gives us of how Haiti and Cuba play a big role, which might take some of you by surprise.
Do something for Haitian people. Give them right. Give them freedom. Set them free from jail.
The immigration and detention system that we have in this country was shaped by events that happened more than anywhere else in Florida in the 1970s and the 1980s. And specifically, events that played out in Miami, with the arrival of a new wave of Haitian and Cuban immigrants.
That's just a taste of the truly fantastic reporting by the podcast's host, Danny Rivero, who I'm delighted to say joins me now. Danny, hello.
Thanks for having me, Deepa.
So your podcast really dives into the history of the system, well, the broken system that we have today. Now, as you go back and tell us, in 1955, the United States had almost no immigrants held in detention, just four. And the 1950s is where your story starts. But it doesn't start in the United States. It starts in Haiti. Tell us what was happening and why you started there.
Right. So, a main thesis of the project, if you will, is that Americans as a society, we tend to talk about immigration once it becomes a domestic policy issue. But there's always another side of that. And in this particular case, because Haitians play such a major role in the creation of the immigration detention system in the U.S., it was really important for us to go back and look at what was happening in Haiti. And that was a time when it was under a dictatorship, a totalitarian regime, which was very friendly with the U.S. The U.S. protected that relationship to a certain degree, even though it was kind of uneasy. But those conditions there are what led to thousands of Haitians taking to the sea, taking rickety boats, and then arriving to the United States in the state of Florida and taking the immigration system that we had completely by surprise.
You know, and what I found really interesting, Danny, is you could have started your podcast right there, just with the rickety boats arriving full of Haitians, which I feel like is the narrative we generally get. I'm sure people have heard of Papa Doc Duvalier, Baby Doc Duvalier, that they were dictators in Haiti, but that's about the extent of it. You really take us into what that dictatorship meant for people's lives and why they were fleeing. Tell us a little bit about what you learned in doing that.
You know, some of what I learned, unfortunately, was just really brutal details of how this authoritarian government played out in people's day-to-day lives. You know, the militias that were created and supported by the government, they were essentially the henchmen of the government that had broad authority and, you know, sometimes not explicit authority to kill people, to disappear people, to torture and detain people. And that impacted everyone. It was really a system that permeated every part of society. It was ubiquitous.
Let's give our listeners a little taste. One of the women who you interviewed, Marlene Bastien, she shared rather frank testimony, including a very horrifying story. Let's take a listen.
I would hear the cries. It's not even, you would not even be human, you know. Like, and they would bury the person. The person is not dead yet, and they would bury the person like that.
It's hard to hear. How common were stories like this among the people you spoke to, Danny?
Very common. I mean, Haitians that grew up in Haiti under the Duvalier dictatorships, they all have stories like this, either something that they witnessed or something that their family members witnessed, things that they had to go through. And the underlying thing behind this wave of migration that the U.S. got was the conditions in Haiti. They touched everyone at every level of society. No one can get away from it.
Let's hear from someone else who you spoke to about what her family and many others chose to do.
Many members of my family left Haiti around that time when the signs were written on the walls that this was becoming increasingly a brutal atmosphere. And so those who could get out did.
You know, so there were many people like that in your podcast, and that brought waves of people, Haitians, to the United States. What was the journey like, and what awaited them in Florida?
You know, the journey from, you know, some of the people I talked to was not a particularly treacherous journey. You know, especially the earliest arrivals, they were almost paving the path, the trailblazers, if you will. And then when they got to the United States, we had no laws or policies about how to handle this kind of migration. It's not something that ever existed. It's not something that the federal government ever foresaw, that people would just show up to the border and say, hey, please give me political asylum.
What years are we talking, Danny?
So the Haitians really started taking to the seas in 1972. So throughout the mid to late 70s, you started to get more and more coming. And then, you know, the whole thing really blew out of the water and became a much bigger national story, a national conversation in 1980 when Cubans left, 125,000 Cubans left in what came to be known as the Mariel Boatlift, taking boats to Florida. You know, very different political circumstances, very different things that they were fleeing. And the United States, by and large, let them in. You know, they detained some of them to process them, but they were generally let in. And then in 1981, the year after, the number of Haitians started going way up because there was a huge political crackdown in Haiti. And then that moment was when the federal government really decides under the Reagan administration that we are going to detain all these people that are coming in, these Haitians in particular, almost entirely 100% Haitians, and basically lock them up, throw away the key, and then try to deport them. And that was the start of the immigration detention system that we have.
And I found it, you know, very interesting in a later episode where you have the immigrants themselves who are locked up realizing that the Cubans who were being sent to detention were by and large darker-skinned Cubans, and the light-skinned Cubans were not detained.
That's right. I mean, and even when, as I said, that most Cubans that came in were immediately processed and released, of the ones that were not, that were kept in detention, they were very disproportionately darker-skinned Cubans. And that did feed into people's beliefs that race was a central part of this, that it was deemed okay by the U.S. government to have lighter-skinned refugees or immigrants coming in, but when darker-skinned ones come in, it's a problem.
This year, Danny, marks 20 years since the creation of the Department of Homeland Security, which, you know, was the first time that immigration came squarely under the realm of security. Before it was the INS, the Immigration Naturalization Service. Now immigration is a security issue. And I'm wondering, you know, all these years later, as we look at the system now, what could we learn from knowing this history that your podcast so compellingly, really, it's very riveting, lays out for us?
One thing I think we should realize is that when we talk about immigration, I can't underscore it enough. There's two sides to the equation, because in the U.S., we really tend to only focus on what's drawing people to the U.S. We don't talk about what pushes people from the U.S. And it's something that's repeating itself right now in Haiti, where, you know, the U.S. is supporting and propping up a government that, in all honesty, it's hard to find anyone that says that the U.S. should be doing that.
Listeners, go get this podcast. The final episode comes out today, but start from the beginning. It's really compelling. Danny Rivero, a reporter for NPR affiliate WLRN in Miami. He's the host of Detention by Design, and you can find the podcast at WLRN's website or any major podcast provider. Danny, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Deepa.